Blog Talk Radio.
Oh, come on. Well, I'm trying to get our song up. But it ain't wanting to come up. It ain't gonna play, so we'll get on in with the service here in just a second. Sorry, folks, no music. Technical difficulties. All right. Let us pray. Most gracious Heavenly Father, Father, once again, as we open your word, we thank you, Father, for your word. We thank you for the Lord Jesus Christ and the Holy Spirit. And Father, we're asking the Holy Spirit now to take over this service and bring to us the things you would want each of us to receive this day from this message. And we ask all of this in the sweet, precious name of Jesus. Amen. Going to be continuing on with the book of Acts. We're about to get through it. We're getting close to the end. But you know, we're still finding Paul in the middle of trouble. In fact, it's been a couple of years now that he's been locked up, more or less, moved around and being brought before different ones of that day and time. But you know, right now we are living in the days, pardon me, to where it's going to be just as bad for you and I as it was for him in his day. It's almost that way now. Pardon me just a moment. I've got to do something, get my throat clear. Got this. Fleeing in my throat. All right. Let's get back now with our service. You know, other countries are treating God's people about the same way as the way they were treating Paul. They're locking them up. They're killing them. And here, they really don't want you and I having any contact with God either. Now, they're taking the Lord Jesus Christ away from us. And all. Took him out of our schools, out of every place he was in. They don't want you praying and ending your prayer even with his name. They're doing everything they can do to you and I for following him. They talk about you, they lie about you, make up all kinds of things about you. Don't want you around. They really don't want to talk to you. We have to keep right on going, just as Paul did. How many do you know today would have kept going like Paul did as far as we've been with him up to this point? We're still going to be with him a lot, but up to this point, he'd been stoned, beaten, jailed, and yet he would not deny his Lord. You're not going to find many today that would take any part of that without denying. Because look what happened when COVID came out. They told all the pastors they had to close their churches. And what happened? They followed man, didn't they? Instead of following God, they closed their churches. There was a few open, but it was very, very few. In fact, I don't know, but only of two that were actually open. Now, after a little while, there were some of them that would hold services out on the parking lot. They'd set up equipment and hold services there with people sitting in their vehicles. Still not putting their trust in God. And that's what we have to do. It don't matter what comes against us. We're told that we're going to face problems. We're going to be tested. Look what they put our Lord and Savior through. And then hung him on a cross to kill him. But you know, even on that cross, they couldn't beat him. Just before he passed away from this earth, he called out to the Father, "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do." We are to walk as he walked, in forgiveness of those that are against us. And we are to teach his word. But we are to teach his word, not ours, not what we want to believe, but what his word says. And very little of that is happening today either. You know, as we get into this chapter 25, Paul's going to be brought before some more. And the ones that keeps this up and keeps bringing that trouble upon him are those actually that should have been following him. They were the religious people of that day. The high priest and all. were the ones giving him so much trouble. Shouldn't be any surprise for us to see a lot of our places that we call churches are teaching contrary. We were warned about it and told it was going to happen. And today we're seeing it. Beginning here with verse 1, it says, now when Festus was come into the providence, after 3 days, he ascended from Caesarea to Jerusalem. Verse 2, then the high priest and the chief of the Jews informed him against Paul and besought him. You see, who it was that was talking against Paul? The high priest and the chief of the Jews was talking against Paul to Festus. Go on here, the last two says, and besought him, 3, and desired favor against him that he would send for him to Jerusalem, laying wait in the way to kill him. Here they are, the high priest and the chief of the Jews, trying to get Festus to send Paul to Jerusalem so they could lay in wait on the way to kill him. So what makes you and I think that we are not going to be persecuted? Verse 4. But Festus answered that Paul should be kept at Caesarea and that he himself would depart shortly thither. He letting them know now that Paul's not going to be sent to Jerusalem. He's going to be kept there at Caesarea because Paul had asked to be heard from one greater than them, which we'll be getting to in just a moment. Here in 5, let them therefore, said he, which among you are able, go down with me and accuse this man, if there be any wickedness in him. Because you see, up to this point, the one they kept taking him to, they wasn't finding anything wrong with him, especially anything that would be worthy of death, which was what they were wanting for him. And here in 6, and when he had tarried among them more than 10 days, he went down into Caesarea, and the next day, sitting on the judgment seat, commanded Paul to be brought. Now he's sitting on the commandment seat. That commandment seat and the judgment seat is called, was a place in the market where they would pass very often, where the leader would sit and rule over his land there that he was in charge of. You can actually go back to chapter 18. Let's run back here for just a second. In verse 16 through 17, says, your plan says, and he drove something about Galileo. He drove them from the judgment seat in 17. Then all the Greeks took Sylvanus, the chief ruler of the synagogue, and beat him before the judgment seat. And Galileo cared for none of those things. But you see, they were doing it all as if they really had the authority to do these things. And they had no authority for none of it. He had never been really tried. And still, because they was wanting him dead, they were still doing everything they could do to find a way to get that done. Now, here it says, and when he was come, the Jews which came down from Jerusalem stood round about and laid many and grievous complaints against Paul, which they could not prove. Kind of like they tell a bunch of lies, don't they? Because the things they was bringing up against him, they couldn't prove them. While he answered for himself, neither against the law of the Jews, neither against the temple, nor yet against Caesar, have I offended anything at all. That's Paul's statement. As he's speaking in his own defense, letting them know he's done nothing against any of these that they're accusing him of. But Festus, willing to do the Jews a pleasure, answered Paul and said, will thou go up to Jerusalem and there be judged of these things before me? You see, Festus is at the point here that he's ready to do what the Jews and the chief priests is wanting him to do. And that's to send Paul to Jerusalem so they could kill him on the way. But, you see, God's always got a way of getting us out of our troubles. Now, it may not be right away. We may have to go through a lot of things just as Paul would do it. But Paul wasn't doing it by himself. The Lord was with him. The Lord was giving him strength, giving him a right mind, and making a way for things to be done his way. Now, verse 10, then said Paul, I stand at Caesar's judgment seat, where I ought to be judged. To the Jews have I done no wrong, as thou very well knowest. For if I be an offender, or have committed anything worthy of death, I refuse not to die. But if there be none of these things whereof they accuse me, no man may deliver me unto them. I appeal unto Caesar. You see, Paul now is making his appeal unto Caesar God knows what he's doing. Then Festus, when he had conferred with the council, answered, they made their decision, as thou appeal unto Caesar shall thou go. He said, you appeal to him, so we're going to send you there. But they're still where he's at here in Caesarea. They're still not through with him yet. They still want to mock him and ridicule him and all. We find here in 13, and after certain days, King Agrippa and Bernice came into Caesarea to salute Festus. And when they had been there many days, Festus declared Paul's cause unto the king. You see, Agrippa was king in that day and time. And Festus is telling him about Paul and all. And he was declaring Paul's cause unto the king. There is a certain man left in bonds by Felix. Felix had left him there. About whom, when I was at Jerusalem, the chief priests and the elders of the Jews informed me, desiring to have judgment against him. He's letting them know just how everything stands. And he goes on here in 16, he says, to whom I answered, it is not the manner of the Romans to deliver any man to die before that he which is accused have the accuser face to face and have license to answer for himself concerning the crime laid against him. He says, therefore, when they were come hither without any delay on the morrow, I sat on the judgment seat and commanded the man to be brought forth. He's letting the king know that he had already heard him and everything while he sat on the judgment seat. But he's also letting him know some other things here. He said, against whom, when the accuser stood up, they brought none accusation of such things as I supposed. In other words, they wasn't bringing things that Festus would even think they was bringing. But they had certain questions against him of their own superstition and of one Jesus, which was dead, whom Paul affirmed to be alive. And because I doubted of such manner of questions, I asked him whether he would go to Jerusalem and there be judged for these matters. He letting them know now, they can't know. I asked him to go to Jerusalem. He goes on here in 20 and he says, and because I doubted of such manner of questions, I asked him whether he would go to Jerusalem and there be judged of these things. So when Paul had appealed to be reserved to the hearing of Augustus, I commanded him to be kept till I might send him to Caesar. Then Agrippa said unto Festus, I would also hear the man myself tomorrow said he, thou shalt hear him. Now, King Agrippa was wanting to hear him. And on the morrow, when Agrippa was come, and Bernice, with great pomp, and was entered into the place of hearing with the chief captains and principal men of the city, at Festus' commandment, Paul was brought forward. And Festus said, King Agrippa and all men which are here present with us, do you see this man about whom all the multitude of the Jews have dealt with me at Jerusalem, and also here, crying that he ought not to live any longer? You see, the whole thing has been just about how they could either kill him or get him killed. But when I found that he had committed nothing worthy of death, and that he himself had appealed to Augustus, I have determined to send him. He couldn't find anything in Paul worthy of death. And when Paul made his appeal to Augustus, now Festus says, I have determined to send him, of whom I have no certain thing to write unto my Lord. Wherefore, I have brought him forth before you, and especially before the old King Agrippa, that after examination had, I might have somewhat to write. Because you see, he's wanting to write something to Augustus about why Paul's been locked up, why he's being sent there, and what charges. And 27 says, for it seemeth to me unreasonable to send a prisoner, and not withal to signify the crimes laid against him. So he's wanting something now to write to Paul, or write to Augustus about Paul. All right. We're going to be going into chapter 26 now. It says, then Agrippa said unto Paul, thou art permitted to speak for thyself. Then Paul stretched forth the hand and answered for himself. You know, when we stop and think, what would we have done in Paul's place? What would our attitude have been? But I want you to notice not only what Paul said, but the attitude of him. Here's verse 2. I think myself happy, King Agrippa, because I shall answer for myself this day before thee, touching all the things whereof I am accused of the Jews. He said he's happy, especially because I know thee to be expert in all customs and questions which are among the Jews. Wherefore I beseech thee to hear me patiently. My manner of life from my youth, which was at the first among my own nation at Jerusalem, know all the Jews, which knew me from the beginning, if they would testify that after the most strictest sect of our religion, I lived a Pharisee. Well, we all know from the scriptures, sat at the feet of Gamaliel, and was taught all about the law, and all by him, which was the greatest teacher of that day and time. And Paul's letting and making known here in front of King Agrippa that he wasn't a good man in the beginning. We know he wasn't too. He was guilty of bringing back those that followed Jesus to imprison, just like he was being done, and being put to death. He stood while they killed, stoned to death, the first deacon of the church. And he goes on here in 6 and he says, "And now I stand and am judged for the hope of the promise made of God unto our fathers, unto which promise our 12 tribes instantly serving God day and night hope to come, for which hope's sake, King Agrippa, I am accused of the Jews. Why should it be thought a thing incredible with you that God should raise the dead?" Now the Pharisees, although they wanted to live by the law and the things that they did, even Paul, the things he was doing against the Lord, he thought he was doing God's service. He wasn't, but he thought he was. And but they did believe in the resurrection, being raised from the dead. And he knew that Agrippa knew and believed that too. He says, "I verily thought with myself that I ought to do many things contrary to the name of Jesus of Nazareth." And we, like I said, we know he did a lot of things contrary to it. "Which thing I also did in Jerusalem, and many of the saints did I shut up in prison." He's not holding back a thing, is he? He's bringing it all out. "Having received authority from the chief priests, and when they were put to death, I gave my voice against them." He's letting him know that he had done the same thing in his day and time. "And I punished them often in every synagogue and compelled them to blaspheme, and being exceedingly mad against them, I persecuted them even unto strange sins." In other words, I didn't just do it here at home. And we know he didn't, because when he met Jesus, he was going to a different city and going for the purpose of getting more and bringing him back to imprisonment and death. He goes on here in 12 and he says, "Whereupon, as I went to Damascus with authority and commission from the chief priests, at midday, O king, I saw in the way a light from heaven above the brightness of the sun shining around about me and them which journeyed with me. And when we were all fallen to the earth, I heard a voice speaking unto me and saying in the Hebrew tongue, Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? It is hard for thee to kick against the pricks. And Paul says, and I said, who art thou, Lord? And he said, I am Jesus, whom thou persecutest. But raise and stand upon thy feet, For I have appeared unto thee for this purpose, to make thee a minister and a witness both of these things which thou hast seen and of those things in which I will appear unto thee. Now, you know, when you really stop, you just read over that, and until you know the working of Almighty God, how he works, and how he loves us all. He loves every man, woman, and child on this earth. It is man that turns away from God. God doesn't turn away from mankind. Once you turn away from God, then you're in a lot of trouble. Most of the time. But also, this is letting you and I know that regardless of how bad our life in the beginning was, God can still use you and will use you if you will do what he asked of you to do and if you will accept him. That's why things are laid out like they are in the plan of salvation. Because that's what makes the difference. Now, 17 says, delivering thee from the people and from the Gentiles, and to whom now I send thee. He's going to stop him from taking all these in. And he's going to make him deal to the Gentile people. That you and I. That's everybody that's not a Jew. Now, I'm not saying you may not have a little Jew blood in you. But you're not actually Jewish. Now, 18. To open their eyes and to turn them from darkness to light and from the power of Satan unto God, that they may receive forgiveness of sins and inheritance among them which are sanctified by faith that is in me. This is what Jesus is telling Paul. He's calling him for. What's he actually calling you for? And if you are on your way, if you are a believer, then God has called you. And what has he called you for? Because you see, he has something in mind for you. He goes on here in 19. Whereupon, O King Agrippa, I was not disobedient unto the heavenly vision, but showed first unto them of Damascus and at Jerusalem. And throughout all the coast of Judea. And then to the Gentiles, that they should repent and turn to God and do works made for repentance. You let him know, I'm now doing exactly what I was arresting them for. And they let him know why. He's doing it now. Now it came about. For these causes, the Jews caught me in the temple and went about to kill me. Having therefore obtained help of God, I continue unto this day, witnessing both to small and great, saying none other things than those which the prophets and Moses did say should come. Well, you see, we are to teach today. What man wants you to believe? Or are we to teach you the word of God? And what word are we to teach? We are to cover all of God's word, but we are mainly to teach you to live by this New Testament. Because it is this word that will get you into heaven. But if you live contrary to this word, you're not going to make heaven your home. As I heard a man say this morning, your new address will be in that burning lake of fire. Let me assure you one thing, you don't want that. You may think it don't make any difference. You may believe all kinds of things because there's been all kinds of things told out there because they got away from teaching this word as it is written. Think about it. Now, we come back here, 23, that Christ should suffer and that he should be the first that should raise from the dead and should show light unto the people and to the Gentiles. Because you see, this is the first that the Gentiles has been let in on the things of Almighty God. They worshiped idols, most of them, if they worshiped anything at all. Gentiles are those that are not Jews. And he's letting us know here that he is to listen. Oh, no. And as he thus spake for himself, Festus said with a loud voice, Paul, thou art beside thyself. Much learning does make thee mad. Now, this Festus has got him out there. He's proclaiming him mad now. But he said, I am not mad, most noble Festus, but speak forth the words of truth and soberness. For the king knoweth of these things, before whom also I speak freely, for I am persuaded that none of these things are hidden from him, for this thing was not done in a corner. He's letting us know that this king should know all these things as we read. A minute. This thing. makes this just run my throat. Then I have to call. Now, verse 26. For the king knoweth of these things, before whom also I speak freely. For I am persuaded that none of these things were hidden from him, for these things were done in a corner, not done in the corner. King Agrippa, believest thou the prophets? I know that thou believest. Paul's telling King Agrippa now, I know that you believe in the prophets. Then Agrippa said unto Paul, almost thou persuadest me to be a Christian. Almost. And that's where most are today. The point. Almost. That gets in my throat. It causes me to cough. It won't go down. It won't come up. Now, we just got a few more verses. He tells him there in 28 that he almost persuaded him to be a Christian. Then Paul said, I would to God that not only thou, but also all that hear me this day were both almost and altogether such as I am, except these bonds. He's telling him, King Agrippa, that he wished all of them would be as he was, except for those bonds that had him. Now, and when he had done thus spoken, the king rose up, and the governor, and Bernice, and they that sit with them. Now, 31, and when they were gone aside, they talked between themselves, saying, this man doeth nothing worthy of death or of bonds. Then said Agrippa unto Festus, this man might have been set at liberty if he had not appealed to Caesar. But see, our Lord had him appeal to Caesar because he's also got some other things for Paul to do. And that is his way of getting Paul where Paul needs to be and to see those that he needs to see in order to do the work that God calls for him to do. And we today, we have to step this the same way, knowing we are what God wants us to be and stand doing exactly what he asks of us to do. And we should never make a decision about anything without first taking time to ask God about that decision and getting an answer from him. You know, several years back, this country had a great revival. Our land did. Most don't even know about it. It was caused by one man. One man. Ask a question. That the preacher couldn't answer really at the time. The man, when he asked his question, dropped dead in church. At the time he asked. But it got that preacher to thinking. And got him to praying about the situation and about this man. And he goes to services the next Sunday and he asks his congregation how many in there would stand with him 1 year, never doing nothing without first asking, what would Jesus do? Answer it as honestly as they could, and then do it regardless of the price. Well, he had several do it. There were several that didn't, but he had several that did do it. He had the wealthiest church in that city. Chief police and everything. It was in his church. There was a couple of rich ones that lost a million. And then there was a couple that received that much. But then as they was doing, they had promised to do, that revival began to really grow. And it went from one church to the next and to the next till it crossed this land. And today there's been movies made of it called In His Steps. I have that movie. I've got all, in fact, all of them. They made four different tapes of it. And I've got all four. And it is something to see. But when we will really ask ourselves what God wants of me, not anyone else but me, Lord, what do you want of me? What do you want me to do? And how am I going to get it done? He'll answer it all. But he'll do it in his time. And he may not give you the whole answer at one time. He may just give you the next step. And not take you any further than that until you have made that step. But you make that one. And he's always got the next one. He's already got it lined out for you. Until he can make of you exactly what he wants you to be. But you have to choose to walk with him. And to do what he wants you to do. Say what he wants you to say. Do what he wants you to do. That is when you are really the born-again child of the living God. Just talking about it don't get it done. You have to put everything to work. You can't work your way into heaven. That's not what I'm saying. You can get out here and do all kinds of good works. Help everybody you come in contact with still go to hell. Because you got to go through Jesus to get to heaven. But you've also we'll have works. We don't do works to get to heaven. We do works because we're on that road of being going to heaven. And because we have the Lord Jesus Christ and the Holy Spirit in us, along with his works. All right, we're going to stop here. Let us pray. Most gracious Heavenly Father, Father, as we close your word, Father, we thank you for this word. We thank you for the Holy Spirit and for the Lord Jesus Christ. We thank you for times that we can come together, Father, to share your word, to share our love with each other, to be a help, Father, and strength one to the other, and also sharing the love of the Lord Jesus Christ, Father. Now, Father, your saints, wherever they are in the world, we ask the Holy Spirit to take care of them, to keep them safe, keep them in health, and see to their needs. For Jerusalem, Israel, we pray for peace for them. Because, Father, right now, they're not having too much peace. They are yours, Father. We do love them, just as you love them. Because, Father, we know that it is through them that we have you. Now, Father, this land of ours, a land that had no excuse whatsoever, has turned its back and walked so far away. And Father, we pray for the help of the Lord Jesus Christ and the Holy Spirit to remove from our government offices those that are against you, against your church. Help us to replace them with ones that will work for you, for your church, and work with us to help bring this land to repentance, Father, so it can be healed and our government can be put back upon the foundation in which it was founded, that being your word, the Lord Jesus Christ. And Father, for all that will hear this message, wherever and whenever that will be, we pray for them. We pray, Father, for those that are sick to be healed with whatever they have, Father, whatever is wrong with them, that the body will be made whole. But most of all, Father, we pray for all to receive the anointing of thy Holy Spirit, to give them the guidance and the truth of your word, and guide them into living that word, Father, giving them the strength along with the knowledge, letting them see your great love for mankind. Now be with all of us in this ministry, Father, and our families. Because, Father, we don't want to see any of our families lost. We know that we have some that are not living right. They need to put on the Lord Jesus Christ. They need to be in church. May the Holy Spirit be able to work with them. Father, bring them into the fold to make them not only our family, but a part of your family, Father. And be with all of us throughout these next days, nights. Keep us safe. Keep us in health, Father. And bring us back together come Sunday morning. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. God bless.